Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Adam and Eve. Spring is in the air, but is it in your step? Is it in your bed? If you're interested in better sex starting now, go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys, lingerie, accessories, everything you need to level up your pleasure checks. And right now, Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item. Plus, free shipping, which includes rush processing. That's discreet shipping, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. So just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code PAWPAW at checkout. That's PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code PAWPAW to get your discount, 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Code P-A-W-P-A-W. Goodbye, sweeties.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
They made a book about a video game.
Game.
We made a podcast about that book.
Welcome to 8-Bit Book Club, everybody. The only book club that makes you dumber.
Oh my god.
Remember that?
I don't.
I'm Brian Murphy, joined by my life slash comedy partner, Emily Axford.
Whoa. What did I used to do with the intro?
I just did it. And then my other life slash comedy partner, Caldwell Tanner.
It's so good to be back. I didn't remember any of this because the books did make me dumber.
That's true. And then we've got, Suze was on an episode of 8-Bit Book Club.
True.
Right? Uh-huh. So, second guest, Jake Hurwitz?
Second guest or wow. First little buddy?
First little buddy. Welcome back.
It's only guest. Huh? Yeah, that makes sense.
Welcome to being a guest on your own feed.
I was going to say, we're probably going to be doing these more, so you are a permanent guest.
Wow, all right, cool.
Yeah. Welcome to our permanent guest.
Someday I'll graduate to co-host, maybe.
Is that launch here?
At least life partner.
Comfortable for you? We fished it out of the garage.
No, I can tell. It's covered in mites.
We're doing an adventure book, so we should probably get into it, because these have a tendency to take us forever.
Murph, cool. Set the scene. What set adventure scene. Book are we
so
doing?
So this is Dungeons & Dragons, ooh, an endless quest book. Pick a path to adventure, because choose your own adventure, I believe, is trademarked. Yes. It's your own thing. So mm-hmm. This is pick a path.
Pick a path.
Pick a path.
That's better.
Pick a path.
That's actually pretty good.
Alliterative.
Hey, it's a Sunday and it's raining. What do you want to do? Let's do a pick a path.
so quick pick a path.
It's some macrame and a pick a path.
I'm picturing it like a very waspy couple.
Yeah. darling, come into the drawing room. I'm doing a pick a path.
The servants have laid out the options, darling.
Simba can't finish this pick a path without you.
Okay, it's called Dungeon of Dread. It's called Dungeon of Dread, and it was released in 1982.
Great.
This book is older than us.
Yeah. Oh. That's
and that's
cool.
Old, because we're old.
It's just dripping with wisdom and knowledge from a time before.
So much wisdom.
Or.
Yes, this is quite an old book. Let's dive into it. This is like
sploosh.
A choose your own. Let's sploosh in.
Oh,
sweet diving.
Let's go start picking paths. Okay, so.
That's me diving.
I will start off reading.
Amazing.
I'm like the most on the rails. God damn it. What are you doing? Already.
Here, I make myself so thin.
Welcome here's journey into the world of fantasy. This adventure into the dungeon.
It's fine. God, I don't even want to do it anymore.
No, go ahead.
Kerplunk. No. I was just going to say Kerplunk.
Good. Okay.
All right.
Let me start over.
Deep dive.
Let me start over.
Thank you.
Welcome. We're one word in. One word in and I can't get it out. I can't get one word out.
Let him talk.
Okay. Welcome to a journey into the world of fantasy. This adventure into the Dungeon of Dread is a Dungeons and Dragons adventure. You will find a complete adventure between the covers of this book with many possible course of action. Blah, blah, blah.
Ooh.
Who cares? In this book, you play the part of a human fighter. As an adult, you stand 5'9" tall and weigh about 150 pounds.
That's incredible.
It's from 1982. People used to be shorter.
People were so short back then.
In the 80s?
Yeah.
This guy's probably towering over everyone. in the 80s.
I am stronger and taller than this human fighter.
5'9", that is aspirational.
But I bet you can't
take
a win.
This is what fantasy is all about. Can you imagine me being 5'9"?
Can you imagine being 150 pounds?
That would rule.
Okay, you are smart and have survived many adventures using little more than your wits. We're an int fighter. Yeah. You are well schooled in the use of weapons and are a powerful opponent. You carry a sword and a dagger and wear a long sleeved green tunic over leather breeches.
Okay, classic.
Fine leather boots guard your feet. A long green hunter's cloak protects you from the cold. You carry flasks of oil, a tinderbox, a length of rope, and other gear in a leather pouch tied to your belt.
There's a lot of leather on this.
A lot of animals die.
We're all leathered up. We just look like a meatless cow, just covered in its skin.
I hate it when books don't describe the britches.
Good luck and good adventuring.
I need to know what's in my bag.
You have stopped for the night in a strange forest, tired after a long day's walk. The area seems eerie and strange. Okay. There is no moonlight, so the shadows are very black.
Can we just call out one thing right now? Yes, we are alone.
Yes, yeah. We have no friends. Yeah. We have no party.
We don't even have a horse. It's just a long walk into weird woods wearing leather pants. And we're 5'9 for it.
5'9 covered
slightly
in leather.
Below average height, yeah.
Nothing but the britches on our ass.
Fucking 5'9 leather daddy.
We're skinny. Skinny leather daddy.
Oh, wow. Everyone was leather daddies back then.
Okay. This forest is weird, but it's not weird enough.
Describe the shadows, Mark.
The air is still and heavy. Even the usual night noises of small birds and animals are missing. Ordinarily, you would have pressed...
The birds!
There's birds at night.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm worried about them.
You're worried about the birds? They're missing.
Where's this owl snatcher? I accost him.
Ordinarily, you would have pressed on through the dark woods to the nearest town, but this night you are too tired to take another step.
Not this night.
Rapid. Very good. Yeah, what is our dude's name?
Oh. Do we get to name them?
Well, I guess so.
I think first name Leather, last name Daddy.
That's good.
Leather Daddy?
LD.
Okay, so Leather Daddy.
Oh, it could be LD. That's nice.
Okay, LD.
Yeah. That'll be fun to explain.
LD. All right, wrapping LD's cloak firmly around LD's self, LD lies down upon a soft bed of moss. I'm just going to go back to saying you are with your sword close at hand. You are soon fast asleep. You dream that summer breezes ruffle your clothes.
Oh.
Rippling through the leather.
You slowly awaken. Breeze. There is no breeze. The night is calm.
To move that leather.
Your reflexes scream an alarm and you awaken.
Oh, shit.
Eyes snapping open. You see a 3-foot tall halfling.
Okay, so we are tall.
Probably a thief. This is a little racist.
Whoa.
Excuse me.
Whoa.
Quietly searching your clothes. Okay.
Okay.
You don't lead with the halfling part and then say probably a thief.
This is a fellow leather daddy, obviously.
This is a fellow. Just looking at your leather. Probably checking out the wares.
Yeah.
In one smooth, swift movement, you jump to your feet and grab the unlucky halfling by the scruff of his neck.
Hey, watch out.
Very good.
Thank you.
The halfling's eyes shine.
That's LD's voice.
Shine in the moonlight.
Yeah, the halfling is like, hey.
Hey, what the hell did I do?
I was looking at your leather there, daddy. His fear is easy to see. Well, halfling, can you give me one reason why I shouldn't feed you to the crows?
First of all, there are no birds out. Okay?
That was LD saying that.
Oh.
Oh, please don't do that, whines the halfling. I'm just a poor, hungry halfling named Loris. I'm no danger to anyone. Why, I just now escaped a terrible fate.
Is there an option to lie to the halfling and say that the L and L?
What do you think? Emily, what do you think? Just say your bit.
My full name is Loris Daddy.
Okay, so wait. The halfling is Loris, and Leather Daddy's new name is Loris Daddy?
Yeah. We're lying to establish common.
Got it. Okay, yeah. So you lie.
Choose that option.
I'm like a sociopathic mirroring.
I'm choosing the option to tell Loris that your name is also Loris.
Right.
Loris Daddy. Loris ignores you and continues. Fair. I'm no danger to anyone. Why, I just now escaped a terrible fate. If you spare me and feed me, I'll tell you where to find all the treasure in the world.
Spare me and feed him, daddy.
Overselling You hesitate, then lower him to the ground, saying, I have no need for all the world's riches, but what you say sparks my interest. I will spare your life and feed you if your story interests me enough to pay for my lost sleep. Oh, so Loris might be telling us.
We're kind of fucked up.
LD, feed him till he's full.
Yeah, but I think we're being weird about all this.
We are.
We're
like holding like,
I don't want any cash. I want a story.
I want a story. Good, I won't murder you.
Because I'm going to fucking write down that story, publish it under my name, and collect royalties when it sells and turns into a
Loris Daddy stealing Loris's story.
Stealing lore.
And all lore Loris did was look at leather.
Stealing Valor.
Just looking at her.
Lore Loris loves leather.
Yeah. Okay, but I warn you, if the tail does not, I will feed you to the crows. Carefully watching the halfling, you gather dry wood from beneath the trees to start a fire. Soon, you and the halfling share its welcome warmth. Okay. Buddies
I like
now.
This, though. There's something kind of like the Odyssey about it, right? The exchange of a story for hospitality.
For not murdering. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is, yeah. Soon, you and the halfling share its welcome warmth. Its bright light holds back the shadows of the night. You brew mugs of strong tea. Ew, that's kind of nice.
It's like, you don't care about getting sleep at all. Yeah. You're like, I'm so mad you woke me up. Let's start a fire and drink tea.
Yeah. If someone made a fire for me and made some tea for me after I looked at their leather and they threatened to kill me, but made me some tea, I don't know.
You've got a lot in common.
Yeah. You brew mugs of strong tea as the halfling falls ravenously on a mutton leg and round of cheese. He eats as though it has been years since he last saw food.
Okay, I'm feeling a lot of sympathy for Lore Loris.
Lore Loris is eating a wheel of cheese.
I also want mutton and a wheel of cheese right now.
More than anything.
I don't know if I told you guys before recording, but I am starving.
Yeah, we are hungry.
Oh, wow.
So hungry.
Okay.
So is it okay if I eat this turkey leg while we record?
Please, just give me a sniff.
Halfling, you spoke of treasure and adventure. You urge, trying not to show your curiosity. We're so
this guy's fucking horny for
freaking
it.
Horny for stories.
We are
Loris Daddy is horny for stories. Okay, Lore Loris wipes his mug with a grimy finger, searching for any sugar his tongue might have missed. He's horny for sugar.
Everyone in this forest is a fucking freak. Horny.
This is kind of hot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not just the fire.
All right, so all... I'm going to skip ahead a little bit because there's like 10 pages before we get into choices. Settling back against a tree stump, a faraway look comes into his eyes and the halfling begins his tale.
Boris.
I've lived around these parts all my life, and a right pleasant place it was until the magic user showed up. A magic user.
The magic user. That's the name of my next character.
Coleman, he calls himself, which just sounds like the last name of somebody who went to high school with you.
Right.
Coleman, no one knows. No one knows who he is or where he came from.
Coleman's the second most popular kid at
school. My name's Mark Coleman.
Oh, he's got a four-wheeler.
Salutatorian.
No one knows who he is or where he came from. One day he wasn't here, the next he was. Things soon began to change for the worse. People grew poor and sickly, crops withered, and livestock weakened and died. And throughout, are you just reading a sticker right now? Did you just grab a sticker and start fiddling?
I was just looking at it.
Jake just grabbed a sticker and started reading it,
Jake,
playing with
Jake,
it.
Jake, that was poor for.
I know
it's utterly silent. It's more disruptive if I drink from my glass.
I understand that we have a bit of disrupting Merv, but, you know, we are professionals.
We're professionals.
Right? Are we not?
Why don't you pull out your phone
we're
and check? Why don't you check
you
Instagram?
Were screaming over the entire intro.
Here's your damn sticker. It's gone.
Need I remind you?
Everyone
that's
at home, entertainment. That's
Murph
a
tried
bit.
To throw the sticker and it floated back onto the table.
It did. Murph, it's now very I'm turning on you.
Everyone gets,
we are professional.
Everyone get fucking serious, okay?
Yes.
Okay. People grew poor and sickly.
I'm afraid to touch anything on the table. Which I guess is what you wanted.
There's so much stuff next to
Jake. Do you usually touch a lot of stuff while we're playing?
You fiddle? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Normally there's dice for us to hold on to.
You're not like sitting there looking at every number on the dice.
No, but actually Jake has a really good point, or Caldwell has a really good point. I usually am playing with my dice.
Yeah, but you're like touching
heavily.
He was reading.
I was reading. It was
offensive.
They're 3 inches big and it just says sure.
Exactly.
How much time do you think it took me to read it?
I don't know, dude. You were looking at it for a long time.
He was
just staring at... Imagine if you were doing a podcast with somebody sitting right next to you.
Book and they just everyone just makes fun of Jake the whole time.
Yeah, we've been doing it forever without you. This is really convenient that you
It's weird that you're here now.
I was trying to deduce the colors of it.
I had to deduce the colors of it. So then you weren't paying attention.
Is this a lime?
Lore's story. Lore's looks at Jake specifically and says, when Coleman came into town, people grew poor and sickly. Crops withered and livestock weakened and died. And throughout our troubles, the magic user grew rich and powerful. At last, people had their fill, gathering their courage. They came upon Coleman in the middle of the night, burned his house down, and drove him from the town.
This is a cursed act. This is why the birds are gone.
This is why the magic user killed all the birds.
This guy just wanted to make his cool lanterns and sell them in stores and his like fashionable tents for people to use in the woods.
We're projecting a lot.
Coleman. I literally sat here and was like, fuck, was that said in the book and I missed it?
He fled to these woods and claimed them as his own. We townsfolk stay far from the woods, but travelers who choose not to listen to our warnings enter the woods and are never seen again.
We saw no warning.
I was always too smart for my own good, sighs the halfling. One day I decided I would learn the secrets of the woods. Why is that smart? Why would that be a smart thing, Loris? That's a dumb thing.
To learn the secrets of the woods?
I'm too smart for my own good. That's why I'm here wandering around the woods starving.
Looking at your leather.
I can't find any food or clothes.
Desperate for a fucking cheese wheel. I haven't had a carb in months. I haven't eaten cheese and mutton chops.
I'm near death because of how smart I am.
Yeah, I'm fully in ketosis.
It's also a really funny character trait to be like, my character is too smart for their own good.
Yeah.
Clearly,
I was too smart for my own good.
Too hot for their own good. Too smart for their own good.
Okay.
5'9", 150 pounds.
So, but that's Laura's daddy.
Laura's daddy.
Who is 150 pounds. This halfling is probably not even 150.
3 feet.
One day, I decided I would learn the secret of the woods, the missing travelers, and perhaps figure out how to kill the wizard. If I could do that, I could return to the village as a rich hero. So one morning, without even a goodbye to me misses, I slipped into the
buddy!
Bad hug.
There was something going on there.
This is Coleman.
This is a symptom of a long-standing problem.
Yeah, something tells me that this mission that you've dedicated yourself to is just a distraction from your ruinous marriage.
If you need a divorce, there's easier ways to do it.
I explored every inch of the evil woods and found nothing. Finally, I came to a mountain just outside the forest. I was cold and tired, so I crawled up on a ledge. God, shut up. So he wanted to find me, halfling. He's blah, blah, blah. I must have fallen asleep, for the next thing I knew, I woke up to find Coleman standing over me. So you wanted to find me, halfling, he said. Well, now you have, and I wager you'll get more than you bargained for. With a wave of his hand, he put a spell on me so I couldn't move and slung me over his shoulder like a trussed up rabbit, then was slipped through an opening in the side of the mountain. Okay, so a little.
We love to be trussed up.
Yeah, trust me, daddy.
Okay. Are we liking Coleman?
Trust me when I say trust me, daddy. Yeah.
Trust
is the king of the freaks.
Yeah. This magic user can throw me over his shoulder any day of the week. I cannot and will not tell you all of the frightening things I saw. This is Lord Loris talking. I don't even want to think of them, shudders the halfling. He carried me to the very center of the mountain, maybe the center of the world for all I know, and there I saw all the treasure in the world.
You said you were smart.
Yeah.
Really, probably not. Yeah. It's a bit of a myopic worldview.
You wanted to rob me, said Coleman, so look upon my treasure. You will always know just how much you have lost. Those who seek danger foolishly always find it. Those who know how to handle both danger and wealth are few and far between. You are lucky. I feel generous. I shall let you go and not even change you into a newt. A little Monty Python reference there. Very clever.
I didn't get it. I don't
turn me into a newt.
Just a little. Got better. It's really funny. Should we go on?
Should we
just do the movie?
Yeah. Not even change you into a newt as you deserve. When you return to your home, none will believe you. Your friends will think you have been drinking fermented corn juice in the woods.
Oh, which honestly, as a listener rather than a reader, I'm not sure that he hasn't been just drinking fermented corn juice.
Fermented corn juice. This is a corn juice story for sure.
Been hitting the kombucha.
Yeah. Kombucha. That's good.
Okay. Thank you. You could be drinking kombucha and have made this story up to cover your absence. They will laugh at you. Only you will know what you have beheld and lost. Now be gone. Black smoke came out of his fingertips. When it cleared, I found myself in these dark woods alone and hungry. So hang on.
Coleman rules.
Yeah. Coleman. So Lord Loras was like, I saw the worst things in the world. Coleman was like, you were going to murder me. So let me take you to my house. Yeah. Look at all my treasure. And now I'm going to just put you back in the
check
world.
It out. I let you go with a warning.
Yeah. What's up? I have several watches, an Xbox, and a PS5. Fuck you. Get out of my life.
Yeah, just you gave thought you a tour of the pad.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely like a robber on the skirts of your house. You find them, bring them in, and you're like, look,
this is my sound system.
This check is my it sound out. System.
Yeah. I got my woofers.
Sick, and you will never, and here's the pain I'm going to impart on you is you'll know you will never have them.
Behold my model train system. Set.
And you're lucky I won't turn you into a newt. It's like, I'm going to come back with all my friends.
Okay. Laura stares into the fire for a long time without speaking. It's not that dramatic, my dude. Finally, he roused himself and says with a shaky laugh, you can see now I'm just a poor halfling of no harm or help to anyone.
This guy has a victim complex.
Yeah. This guy's halfling. Fucking gone on
do
that
Do you guys
horn.
Think this dude is Coleman?
Wait, maybe. Why did Coleman die in the first place? Or Coleman did get chased out of town? Like they were just like mad that he was magic.
No, I mean, I think he showed up and everything bad started happening while Coleman showed up. Okay. So it's not like Coleman necessarily
did
it.
Black smoke came out of his fingers, which might imply some sort of medical condition. That's true. Leaky finger syndrome.
All right.
Carbon fingers.
So I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. Loras Daddy says, Lore Loras, you say gently, could you find that opening in the mountains again? So our medium-sized king.
Yeah. So he went from not saying he doesn't give a shit about the riches to being like, where's the hole in the mountains?
Where's the PS4 and the model train?
So. Yeah.
Okay, halfling stares at you for a moment. Surely I could, but it would mean your death. Calmed would not allow you to survive as he did me. I was a moment's amusement, but you would be a serious threat.
I agree with you. Calmed's the fucking magic user. I mean, the halfling is Coleman.
Coleman is Lore Loras.
But you would be a serious
threat.
Hold on,
let's write their names out.
Anyway,
they're absolutely different.
Anyway, the monsters would get you first. They're scary, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so there's monsters on the way. You fold your arms and stare at the halfling, tapping your fingers against your shoulder. Lore Loras shakes his head and says, I see nothing I say will persuade you. As the wizard said, those who search for danger will find it. Who can tell? You might even succeed where I failed. I will take you to the rock. At least it will prove I spoke the truth. So he's taking him to
take us to
the tight little
pocket in the rock.
Yeah. As the last mountain rises before you, I skipped a little bit, silhouetted against the night. The halfling searches about for a while, then cries, aha, here it is. A large dark crack looms in the mountain before you. You turn to the halfling, almost expecting him to have disappeared, but he has remained faithfully by your side instead of scurrying off into the night as soon as you found the opening.
Okay, so he didn't leave us like he left his wife.
Right. Lore Loras left his wife.
Yeah.
Well, his wife didn't have strong teeth.
Right. Halfling, what will happen to you if you return to your village? Lore Loras laughs a bitter laugh. If I tell the truth, me missus will scold me. She's a hard woman. Because you leave.
Oh. Yeah.
Because you leave.
She'll scold me. She's something good for running off in the middle of the night.
I think disappeared for days.
You're a hard man.
You're a hard man, Lord Loras.
My dude loves corn. He loves just sipping down that good wet corn. How can you blame him for living this life?
Like starving in the woods rather than get scolded.
All right. He's worried he's going to have to go back to being little Loras, the baker's helper.
Okay.
I'm going to start calling people a baker's helper as an insult.
Loras Daddy tries to convince him to come along. Halfling smiles, eyes rimmed with bright tears. I guess we're inspiring him.
Jesus fucking Christ.
You look at the stars.
I don't buy this emotional.
No, we're getting into it. We're becoming friends. Wow. Okay. As your eyes grow accustomed to the darkness. Okay, so this is us. So we have gone into the, we've descended into the crack.
Great. Okay.
As your eyes grow accustomed
to the
darkness.
Into the center of the world.
Into the center of the world.
You see a skeleton leaning against the wall in one corner, staring at the opposite wall. A small shield lies at its side. With a little polishing, it might shine as brightly as your own. You pick the shield up and give it to Loras, also handing him your dagger. The halfling takes the weapon and shield, holding the dagger gingerly with his fingertips.
We're arming Coleman.
It's not going to bite you, you say. Hold it firmly. Be ready. Don't strike until you're certain of your target. And once you begin, do not falter.
We're 5'9 and we got zero brains.
Yeah. I'll try to do my best, Laura says, putting the dagger in his belt. I'm scared, but I won't let you down. He begins polishing the shield. Keep in mind that I skipped over them becoming friends in a page. Yeah.
I won't let you down like I let down me missus.
I won't let you down like I let down everyone.
Also, me 12 like, children. Polishing the shield, wouldn't that just be vanity? It's not going to be a better shield for polishing.
Unless
you're up against some villainous creature that can cast laser beams.
Oh, or even you could catch the sun and blind someone.
Yeah, fucking wreck a Medusa.
We're getting up to our first choice. Your eyes follow the skeleton's gaze and see a message scrawled in red on the wall of the cave. Watch the water that is not water and beware the basilisk. The rest of the cave is empty except for a pile of leaves and twigs in the west corner and a hole in the wall under the message. Well, Loras, where do we go from here, you ask? I do not know, the halfling replies. I do not remember any trails, just some of the things I saw. Okay, so we got two choices here.
Okay.
If you wish to investigate the hole in the wall, turn to page 13. If you wish to check the pile of leaves in the corner, turn to page 15.
We gotta check the pile of leaves.
Watch the water that is not water.
That's
watch
like
the-
a Dasani or like a smart water.
The water that is not water.
Yeah.
Oh.
Are the leaves water?
Watch the water is water not water.
I mean, not water. Beware the basilisk.
Where, how?
The basilisk is... So the skeleton was looking in the hole.
Yeah.
Basilisks, like, turn people to rocks, don't they?
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's what the
shiny
shield is
for. So if we look
in
the hole, there's a basilisk in there. So I think you guys are right to look to the leaves, right?
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
I also, think the leaves are the way to go.
Maybe there's some slugs in there that we could give to Loras.
All right, we all cool with leaves?
Yeah, we're looking for slugs.
I'm cool with it unless it like results in something bad, in which case I'll be like, I never said.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Cool.
Right. In which case, let me get a take of me saying no, we shouldn't do it. Oh, she can edit it in.
Oh, cool. Right. All right, can we just get it clean? Damn.
Yeah, let's get it clean. Right. Go ahead, Jake. Great. Make your choice.
I don't know, guys. I think we should look in the hole.
Okay, let's get the other one now. That one can be your idea too, so I can just place that in.
Okay. I say we look in the leaves, folks.
Okay. That's really good.
Great.
Okay.
So yeah, just slot those in wherever.
Ending on folks was so hammy.
We have chosen.
Can I do one more?
Please.
Can I get that with a deeper voice? Okay, so we have gone over to the leaves.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's the right choice. Let's see.
Let's kick them before we look.
Okay, you kick the leaves.
Yeah.
The pile looks like a harmless clump of leaves and twigs, perhaps the nest of an animal. However, just to be sure, you place one foot into the middle of the pile.
I was right. We kick it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Intending to spread the debris out on the floor of the cave. Your foot finds no solid footing, and your arms waving wildly, you lose your balance. Whoosh!
Morris,
you are falling!
Morris, no!
You are falling. You slide rapidly down a chute carved from solid rock. The sides are as smooth as glass. You are moving much too fast to stop yourself. You fly out of the chute and land on your back. The fall knocks the breath out of you. You are attempting to catch your breath when thud, another figure flies through the air and lands on the floor beside you.
A friend named Thud?
A friendly thud groans, Loras.
A sexy thud.
I thought you were saying when thud lands behind Loras.
Lands behind you. I was so scared when you disappeared like that. I thought maybe you were eaten by a monster. No, not a monster, just a hole. Are you all right?
Of the ground.
Are you all right? Any bones broken? No, he moans. No, I'm not hurt. As the two of you catch your breath, you notice you are in a corridor carved from solid rock. A single torch burns in a bracket on the wall, and you can see that a tunnel branches off to your left. Sweet, I think we made the right choice.
Yeah.
Whoa. Although they might just be arbitrary.
They may single each torch. Have their own dangers and entrapments.
Yeah, okay. Ooh, we got another choice right away. Ahead of you hear footsteps approaching. A large, ugly man thing walks into your sight carrying a torch. The creature has an ugly snout and long, sharp teeth. It's an orc. It will discover you at any moment. If you choose to try to step into the side tunnel without being discovered, turn to page 22. If you decide to stand and fight the orc, turn to page 20.
I don't agree with our medium king's depiction of this orc. Mm. I think that there's beauty in all creatures.
Wow.
And I think we should approach the orc and let them know.
If it were up to me, I would just be a half orc.
Right.
And
right.
I would have a little underbite.
Well,
tusks.
We don't have that choice. So do
you
we
can
wanna...
open coke so easy.
Do we want to sidestep the orc?
Do we think, okay, so right now we are all performers. We've played. We have to really get into the mind of Loras.
Of this orc?
Yeah.
Of Loras.
Of Loras. And be like, what is Loras?
Loras daddy?
Loras daddy.
Loras daddy. We talking about Loras or Loras daddy?
Loras daddy.
Loras daddy
is the medium king, aka the medium
king. Or wants to believe that he's brave. Like, he came to this cave after saying he didn't even care about the treasure.
Yeah.
He just, like,
Sweeping. Confronting this orc is what he wants.
That's what he wants.
That's what he wants.
That's what he wants.
That's what
I also
want.
Think that like we're in a place where you can just fall through leaves. If you just dive into a hallway, who the fuck knows what could happen?
That's interesting.
True. Oh, I love that. Okay, yeah.
Okay, so we're
I've
gonna
been
fight.
Fully convinced. Yeah.
The yeah. devil you know.
All right. this complete sociopath, Lore Loris, attacks this random dude. Oh, wait, not Lore Loris. Sorry.
Right.
Lore's daddy.
Go forth, Lore
Page
Daddy.
Page 20. Let's head for that side corridor, urges the halfling. Loris, there isn't time, you say. We wouldn't make it. We'll have to fight. As the orc approaches, you see that it carries a sword and a wooden shield. You unhook your cloak quietly. As you do, Loris steps into the orc's sight.
That's a cool move.
That is a cool move.
The beast rushes after him immediately. Holding your cloak by an edge, you whip it around your head and fling it at the menacing orc. The cloak flies.
So wait, courageous.
Wait, are we essentially doing throwing a blanket on a dog?
Yeah, we're throwing a blanket on a dude that's stabbing.
I thought it was cool just to take the cloak off. Off to yeah. be like more yeah. like agile.
No,
that's what I thought was happening. I didn't think he was fucking.
No, we're
having a pillow
we're tricking
fight.
This dude to murder him.
Right, okay. We're gonna make the orc think that he's asleep.
Right,
I see.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The cloak flies through the air like a giant bat and wraps itself about the orc's head. The okay. orc is taken by surprise while it struggles to free itself from the cloak. You and the halfling rush forward and swiftly attack the foul monster with your blades.
Oh my god!
Is this 1982 D&D?
Guys,
really thought we were gonna have a conversation.
Yeah, no. The you remove.
So we will learn no Lork lore.
No. Sadly, we'll have to invent our own.
Lork,
actually,
yeah, so we've murdered Lork.
Uh-huh.
You remove your cloak from the dead beast. We already killed him. And wow. Laura says shakily, "I did it." Wait, Carrick? Just like you said. I guess our name is Carrick. I did it, Loris, Daddy. Just like you said, I could. But I feel awful. I've never killed before. Oh my God! Wait. Oh God!
You've killed your wife's soul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You killed your marriage. You've just skipped out on responsibilities.
Yeah. Loris, Daddy goes on to explain why
to the
it's
baker
okay.
And my wife.
Satisfied that you have won your first encounter, the two of you continue down the corridor. It bends to the right.
It looked fucking sick, Loris. What you did was good.
The corridor is long and narrow, and another corridor. Joins it the from the right. Door. A torch flickers at the entrance to a room where the two corridors join. There's so many corridors for this Jersey boy. Approaching carefully, you peer around the edge of the door and are startled by what you see. You see a large baboon. It sits
Ooh.
On an
yes.
oaken wine barrel wearing a blue cloak, leather
yeah.
breeches, and a frayed leather sword sheath. So much leather. Another
leather. We worship
leather
this beautiful
wow.
creature.
The sheath holds a rusty sword. The baboon is drinking deeply from a mug. You are truly puzzled, for you have never known baboons to live underground, much less wear clothing and drink wine.
Can we be the
Dude,
baboon? I don't want to
yeah.
be fucking...
Okay.
We I think what's happening anymore. Here is that this is ape wine. This is clearly ape okay. wine, and the
what
person is...
What is ape wine? Does
the
it come
person
from,
is
like,
drank deep of the ape draft and has been transformed into a baboon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Furthermore, the baboon stares it's glumly into its mug and seems depressed. A depressed baboon? How very odd. What's this, Lore Loris,
right.
you ask? Mm-hmm. I don't know, the halfling replies. I've never seen anything like it. If you decide to enter the room and face the baboon, turn to page 54. If you decide you don't want to face the baboon, go down the corridor
I
on the
got,
right to 71. We got to talk
to
this dude, right?
Talk to this baboon.
Yeah.
We
have no choice.
The issue I'm having, though, is uh-huh. facing the baboon. I thought we were going to talk to the orc.
I know.
I don't want to
the orc was I said attack the orc.
Okay.
That
okay.
was the option.
Okay. But now you said face. Are we going
this
to...
This says face.
Okay. Yeah.
That,
I don't want to face off
I
against
think
the baboon.
This one is just going to talk.
Okay.
Because the orc one was literally like, do you want to sidestep it or fight the orc?
I right.
I'm
okay,
pretty
great.
Sure that's what it says. I don't remember what happened.
You unhook yes. your clasp and throw it at the ape.
I do want... Yeah, I want to talk to the ape. I don't want to throw my okay. fucking cloak
well, this isn't completely real D&D, so I can't promise you we're not just going to kill this dude because our main character is a maniac.
When did they get rid of ape wine? Which edition?
So I'm going to turn to page 54 because we're going to face him, whatever that means.
54.
Well, who knows? Okay. I don't like the looks of that monkey, mutters Lore Loris. Neither
You're getting replaced, Lore Loris. I'm sorry. We have a new best friend.
Neither do I, you reply, but we can't leave without knowing what this means. Holding your sword before you, you enter the room. Lore sneaks
Looking
in behind
for
you.
Yet another story to pawn off as our own.
The baboon sees you and whimpers into its wine. It drinks the contents of the cup in one large gulp and stares at you sadly, making peculiar noises and gestures.
No.
You realize it is
oh,
trying
yeah.
to talk to you. Maybe it's polymorph.
So tragic. Yeah.
Can you understand him, Lore Loris? I can't make out what it's saying. No, Nope, it's all nonsense to me, says the halfling. Tears pour down its cheeks as the baboon realizes you do not understand.
We must help this ape.
Oh my god, this is hurting my soul.
Heaving a great sigh, it jumps off the barrel and drops yet another full cup, drinking it in one gulp. The baboon drops the cup and stares at the crowd for a long moment. Then, without warning, the creature pulls its rusty sword and rushes towards you.
Why? I will not fight it.
Okay. Throw down our weapon.
We'll see. Back up, Lore, as you said. I don't want to fight this fellow.
Okay.
We understand.
But the baboon will not let you leave the room. It lurches about, swinging its rusty sword wildly and attacking clumsily, but with great strength. Realizing you could be killed by this strange beast, you reluctantly raise your own weapon. I don't think it's trying to win, you pant as you block a wild thrust. Couldn't prove it by me, cries Lore Loras, frantically hiding behind you. Even though you do not fight hard and merely try to protect yourself, the baboon throws itself on your sword and falls dying at your feet.
No! What the actual fuck?
What Whoa. The hell?
Go back. We have to go back.
We accidentally murdered the baboon.
Oh, I can't live with this choice.
Jesus Christ.
This book is too dark for me.
You stare down at the unfortunate beast, saddened by the event. The creature puts its hairy arm around your neck and pulls your head close to its mouth.
Kiss him.
It mumbles strange sounds, but you cannot understand them. A white cloud appears over the baboon's body. You wave it away with your sword.
A final toot.
As you wave away the fart with your sword, and you find a plump toot. Merchant with a large red nose lying on the ground. The baboon is gone.
Polymorph. Yeah.
Oh, the merchant whispers, I thank you for the service. Oh, so we basically did enough damage to break the polymorph.
Great.
Or is it dead?
He's dead.
This is the merchant's ghost.
The merchant's talking. The merchant whispers. Okay. I thank you for the service. My good wife always said I was ugly as an ape when I was in my cups. I guess she was right.
Everyone's bad to their wives.
Everyone needs to be better to their wife.
Everyone needs to be better to their wives.
I bet Coleman has like a really cool wife. Yeah.
So far, we can't help but root for Coleman.
I'm rooting for the wives.
The wife guy of the woods.
Yeah, the wife. I am the wife guy.
The wives have taken over the town.
Okay, the fart cloud reappears, and when you fan it away, only the rusty sword and the cup are left lying on the ground. There's no trace of the baboon or the man.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, look no further. Aura Frames are the beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law all have Auras from me, and they love them. So from grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame, named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Trademark, brother. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. They're easy to set up. They are the perfect gift, and they've got unlimited storage, unlimited photos and videos. You can invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. How beautiful is that? And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code PAWPAW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here with a very important question. Do you like spending money? I sure do. Every time I give away my money, chances are good I'm going to get something I want in return. It's a pretty sweet deal. But sometimes I find myself paying for things I'm not even using. And when that happens, I end up having less money in my bank to spend on things I do want. Ridiculous, right? Luckily, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That's it for me. Thanks for listening and happy savings.
Wait, so he just whispers and then goes away?
Yeah.
Whatever, who cares? You quickly leave the room and hurry down the corridor on the other side of the room. You pass a corridor on your left. As you peer into it, you see a strange green light. The corridor is empty. It runs straight for over 100 paces, then divides. One path goes to the right, the other to the left. While you and Lord Loras are trying to decide which way to go, a hobgoblin comes down the right-hand corridor.
Cute.
Okay. Its yellow eyes shift from side to side. It sees you and lets forth a tremendous roar, then starts running toward you. All the tall creature is intent... All of the tall creature is intent on tearing you and Loras limb from limb.
Dude, Hobgoblin, you gotta fucking get out of here. We just watched an ape die. We can't deal with you right now.
Oh, guys, I gotta say, okay, here's the deal. If we choose to fight the Hobgoblin who did roar and charge at us,
right,
we do get to turn to page 69. If you choose to run down the corridor to the left, turn to page 62.
Also a sexy number. Pretty okay. sexy.
We've done so much killing, though.
I know. Yeah. I know. I'm feeling like a little bit like we just went through an emotional moment.
Yeah.
Don't you think that we're emotionally kind of retreating?
I don't think we deserve 69, honestly.
Okay.
For what yeah. we did.
I am a little... So one interesting thing I would say is
speak
that
up,
69
guest.
Sort of feels like... 69 is mutual cunnilingus.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And fellatio. But like 62 feels kind of like just performing it on one person.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Like oh, it's like you're kind of like kneeling
two,
and you're the
and
two.
And we need to
yeah.
give back.
The two right. is just like sitting in a chair, as it were.
Yeah. yeah.
Well, they'd be like kneeling on the floor, right?
Sure.
Like
yeah.
in
I'd have to look
pose.
At the number.
Yeah. Sitting on a chair. Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. It, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
My point is that I think they're
it
both
would be,
hot.
No, I think Jake's actually right. I think 62.
I could jerk off to like any number.
62 is when you 69 by one person sits in a chair and the other person does a handstand in front of you and you perform oral sex on them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. There so we're gonna do the 62. We're gonna sit on a chair and we're gonna have oral sex with this hobgoblin.
Yeah. The coolest guy at my high school 62'd every weekend. Loved hearing those stories.
Always sitting in chairs.
So many chair blowjobs.
Okay. So I'm careful of just doing handstands on them.
Chad Kalman was getting 62'd at his dad's lake house every right. weekend.
As you enter the corridor, you hear the sound of grinding stone and see some dust fall from the ceiling. Something's wrong, you whisper to the halfling. Let's get out of here. Well, duh, we're getting charged at.
Well, yeah.
You turn around just. And start retracing your footsteps. However, before you have gone 2 paces, a tremendous roar knocks you off your feet and the passage before you collapses.
Oh.
When the dust settles, you see the corridor is completely blocked with large boulders, heavy timber and dirt. It's impossible, you say. We'll never dig out without tools. We can only go forward. Reluctantly, the two of you stagger to your feet. So this dude just like pushed us into a place that collapsed. Reluctantly, the two of you stagger to your feet, turn around and walk down the corridor, alert for danger at every step. The corridor ends in a room. A feeling of menace hangs heavy in the air. Mm. But what you see seems harmless enough. The room is approximately 20 feet square and dimly lit. The ceiling and walls are rough with stalactites hanging from the ceiling. The floor is smooth. A stone well about 3 feet tall stands in the middle of the room. The well is covered with mysterious carvings of ugly faces.
Yes, wow. We drink the well.
Uh-huh. Yes.
We kiss
the faces and drink the well.
Yeah, and then we stand on our tippy toes and we kiss every stalactite.
Kiss every little stalactite. 62, all the stalactites. Sword in hand, you approach the well carefully. Don't do that. Get away, screams the halfling. You stare at the halfling in shock. There's something horrible in there, Laura says, trembling. But I can't remember it clearly. Kalman picked me up by my feet and dangled me over the pool. He thought it was funny. I didn't think it was as funny. What kind of monster is it, you ask? I don't know, he answers. I never saw anything like it before. Sneaking carefully up to the well, you glance in quickly and discover it contains only a shallow pool of water. All of your instincts scream
water
danger.
That's not water.
Beware the water that is not water.
Water.
Danger. Everything in you says leave now, but you do not. You can't go back the way you came, and you've come too far to let mysterious carvings around a pool of water frighten you.
I'm always saying this.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, we might be on a bad track.
Uh-oh. That's good.
Yeah. You look in again and see that the water is crystal clear. You see a bright gold key on the bottom of the pool.
Oh, this is such a trap.
This can't be a trap.
This
can't be a trap.
Such a trap.
It can't be a trap. It can't be one.
And yet, if I were in a D&D campaign and a DM set this up, I'd probably be like, well, we gotta try.
Where do you guys store your keys at home? Because I have a big wet bowl.
We throw it down the well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The tip of the key is fashioned like a cross with diamonds on each end. Colored gems decorate each corner. The key must be valuable and open the lock to something of great importance.
No,
well, this is Laura's daddy said that he doesn't care about riches.
That's true.
Look, Lore, Loris, look, you call. But the halfling buries his head in his hands and does not respond. If the key is important, why would it be left lying around in a pool of harmless water? Perhaps the water is not harmless. You could reach in and see what happens, but if a monster does lurk in there, as Loris believes, that would not be a good idea. Looking about the room, you see several things you did not notice at first glance. There are two doorways, one to your left and one to your right.
Cool. You didn't notice two doors when you walked?
Dude, you had tunnel vision for the well.
Yeah. Both are dark. You cannot see beyond them. Bones lie scattered on the floor. Loris, bring me one of those big bones.
Fetch me that bone.
Yeah.
Bring me those bones, little buddy.
The halfling slowly drags a 3-foot-long bone towards you. Picking the bone up, you probe the bottom of the pool gingerly, trying to snag the key. Why?
They're doing everything so gingerly.
Suddenly, the bone is wrenched from your hand with great violence. The water erupts from the pool. A watery cobra-like head rises out of the pool. It surges at you with its mouth open. You jump back quickly. Once you are out of its striking range, the watery creature sinks back into the pool. See? See, I told you. But no, you wouldn't believe me, cries the halfling. We've got to get out of here before it eats us. Calm down, you say. It can't get us as long as we stay here. It's a water weird.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Lore Loris knows about water weirds.
I still wish that Lore Loris was the ape.
It can't leave the pool. I've heard them mentioned in old tales, but I thought they were never real. It looks real enough to me, says the halfling, his teeth chattering. This is the water that is not water. You are silent as you try to remember all you have heard of water weirds. You know they will attack any living thing. It drags any creature it strikes into the pool to drown it. Weapons rarely hurt the monster. If you decide you do not wish to fight this dreadful monster, you may choose to leave the key, the monster, and the room. If you decide to leave, you may leave by the doorway on your left. You notice a cool breeze blowing from the doorway. If you choose this route... turn to page 86. Cool breeze. What the fuck could that be?
Aspen?
Or a crypt?
Well, I feel safer staying here now.
Or someone chewing a lot of gum. Okay. Okay. So we can go through the breezy door.
No way.
Full of farts, clearly.
Right.
Or you may leave by the doorway on the right. If you choose this way, turn to page 73. It's just a regular ass door. If you decide to stay and try to get the mysterious key, turn to page 77. I say no way we stay for the key.
Wait, I'm wondering, are there options?
I gotta wanna go for the key.
Beware
too.
The water that is not...
I want to see what the options for getting the key are, if it's going to give us multiple
options.
No,
it's not. It doesn't.
All right.
That's not how these books work.
Okay.
What if we drink it? What if we slurp all the water up?
I think it's not going to be an option. There's a part of me... Look, I'm between key and cool breeze.
Okay.
We'll let Jake, the choice master, decide.
My thinking is that Loris seems to know about water weirds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like a degree of confidence, you know, but the way Murp is looking at me, I don't think I could handle killing Loris.
Fair enough.
So I am going to go ahead.
You can go. It is sort of a rite of passage of 8-Bit Book Club for the players to get us killed.
I agree that we were specifically warned about this water.
So I will say we were specifically warned about this water, and it literally says weapons rarely hurt the monster.
Right.
Mm. It literally says weapons rarely hurt the monster. We said we thought this was a trap. Does everyone want to grab the key?
I want to go towards the cool breeze.
Okay. I'm going to vote against, no matter what, against the key.
Okay,
Does anyone vote for the key? Go ahead and
raise your hand.
Raise your hand if you want to grab the key.
Raise your hand for this podcast.
I'm gonna vote for the key because I think that if Loris died here, that his wife would finally be free.
Okay. Caldwell votes for the key.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Emily's voting for breezy door.
Yeah.
I think I'll go breezy door as well.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm cool with breezy door. That's in the middle for me.
Between key and a breeze, we went for the breeze.
Look at that. The council has spoken. I will harbor this grudge forever.
All right. Page 86. As you travel down this corridor away from the water weird, you see that another passage opens to the left. It is dimly lit, but you see nothing. Let's stay out of that corridor for now, you say, as you continue
really
down.
Choice,
fine,
then.
Dude.
Random. As you continue down the corridor, you see stone faces carved in the side of the corridor.
More stone faces, petrified from the basilisk, maybe.
Oh, the faces have ugly, snarling features. Loris Daddy, Laura
this
says.
This is definitely a gosh moment.
Look at those ugly faces. As you proceed, the carvings become larger. They're only stone, Lord Loris, you say, with more courage than you feel.
No, they are not.
The two of you creep along under the gaze of the stone monsters. This is basilisk stuff. A torch lit room opens before you. Large wooden beams rise on both sides of the doorway. You notice the corridor continues on the other side of the room. As you examine the room, you feel as though 1,000 eyes are watching you. Very bad stuff.
Oh, my God.
We could have been slurping key right now. We could have been just downing water weird.
Maybe that'll be our bonus content on the Patreon for this episode, to see what happens if we grab the key. I guarantee it's a death.
You could be having a tasty little water weird soda.
I guarantee it. Before you stands the most horrible collection of statues you've ever seen. Stone monsters only a madman could imagine. Leer down at you from pedestals, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, maybe this magic user, like, creates sculpts from stone and then brings the stone to life. I know that there's a basilisk, so it's probably that, but I like the idea of that being a magic user sculpting.
Do you think this is a magic user that, like, set up shop on the side of the highway and has, like, all those, like, fun bronze sculptures and stone sculptures of, like, a gorilla or, like, you know, like a big stone Shrek, and you can, like, buy them and pick them up
and put them in your garden?
Yeah, put them in your garden.
I think that this guy makes garden ornaments for
All right, I have read ahead. I don't know what anyone said. One of the stone statues is a gargoyle. Oh no!
Yeah.
The gargoyle flaps to life and is going to try to attack us. Loristati thinks that it could be Coleman's servant. Perhaps the wizard is near. If you think you must fight the gargoyle, even though it is one of the fiercest creatures you expect to meet in this dungeon, enter the room and turn to page 100. Well, if you do not wish to fight the corridor. If you do not wish to fight the gargoyle, not a corridor, return to the dimly lit corridor.
I fight the corridor.
Yeah, can we fight the corridor?
Do you guys want to go fight the corridor?
Let's fight the corridor.
Right. I'm going to go fight the corridor.
Stick a sword into a support beam.
The corridor runs straight.
Gargoyles and grotesques are actually used to, they're an architectural feature that serves a function. They're used to channels like the liquid
the
away from the water.
Yeah.
Away from the building. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very cool.
So they're also kind of like fighting a wall.
All architects are freaks.
Yeah.
Dirty, twisted little freaks.
All architects are fucking freaks.
I'm sorry. Frank Lloyd Wright. Your mind is Frank Lloyd wrong.
All right. This corridor runs straight and smooth for several hundred paces. After a time, torches line the walls. Your way is well lit. The corridor slopes upwards, twisting and turning upon itself. At last, you stand before a large boulder. The corridor ends here. There is nowhere else to go. You are puzzled. Searching the face of the boulder, you discover a hidden handle and pull it. Yeah. The entire boulder.
Every time you think there's no door, you immediately find it.
Yeah.
The entire boulder swings slowly toward you. You step aside in amazement. The boulder swings completely open and fresh air rushes into the corridor. Looking around the edge of the opening, you see that it is very dark beyond. You step through the opening and the immense boulder closes behind you. There is now no sign of the door.
This sounds like one of Cullman's tricks.
Loris, Daddy, cries Loris. We're outside. The blackness is only night. Cool. Fresh air blows about you. You smell
cool.
You smell pine trees and green growing things. You are outside and you are safe, but you have come away with little or no treasure to make it worth your while, considering the dangers you faced. Perhaps you can find the opening in the rock and try again another day. As the two of you pick your way down the side of the mountain, a deep mocking laughter echoes down the mountainside. The halfling suddenly turns back toward the mountain and raises a clenched fist, shouting, "Someday, Coleman, Loris Daddy and I, Loris, will return to your lair for another battle. Next time, the outcome will be different." You and Lord Loris turn down the mountain and start the long journey back to Lord Loris's village. The end.
So Lord,
that's a happy ending. Wow. He needs to go home. He needs to go home to his wife.
He's going to go home to his wife and say, "I killed my first person."
Yeah. I
took a life today. Will you take me back?
Linda. Oh, sweet Linda. Not only did I take my first life, I saw an ape turn to dust in front of my very eyes.
I want to be a baker's apprentice again, Linda.
I guess we never had to face that gargoyle. I wonder if we got a medium ending and
we're a medium king.
For Loris Daddy, this is the best possible outcome. He didn't care about the treasure.
Uh-huh.
He just wanted the adventure.
He met a friend for life.
We're friends.
And it's a friend that we totally trust.
Here's the thing. I think that Loris Daddy is going to go into this village, is going to meet Linda, the baker's wife.
Steal the wife.
Loris Daddy is going to realize, is going to see what Loris could never fucking see.
So Linda's getting a happy ending.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Linda's going to sit in a chair while we go down.
That's right. Handstand style. You're going to get 62 tonight, baby.
Oh, my goodness.
Pick out your favorite chair that you don't mind getting a little funky.
Yeah. So Jake,
easy to clean, ideally.
Jake, how do you feel being on Aphid Book Club and in classic Aphid Book Club fashion, us not beating the adventure book that we put?
I'm very impressed. This was my first time listening to the podcast.
We were only on your network for 2 years.
We sent you a bunch of sample episodes.
At a time when there was a lot less podcasts on the network, too. I arguably should have. But it's a what a great show. You guys should bring it back.
Actually, you know what? You have been on 8-Bit Book Club before.
Oh.
Because didn't we announce NADPOD on 8-Bit Book Club?
That's right.
So I think you still are the second guest.
Did you block that from your memory or something?
No, I mean, not anymore. It's a very happy memory.
Should we rank this book?
I thought it was kind of...
This is A to J?
Yeah.
I felt, and maybe it's because we used to do adventure books when we hadn't been playing D&D, but I felt really, really railroaded by this book.
Actually,
all of them are like that.
But yeah, it
It felt like it was like the illusion of choice as opposed to actual choice.
Right. Exactly.
I think D&D made me feel like we would have a lot more like autonomy when we got into it.
Certainly.
I mean,
like, oh, I want to go over to the leaves, but I want to like test. I don't want to fall through.
How do you propose you write that book? You couldn't,
but it's just like fucked with my brain.
So you just want to play D&D.
I'll tell you how you write that book.
I wanted to roll for stuff.
Yeah.
Actually, I should have been able to roll, and if I rolled high, you should have read ahead and given me a hint.
You should play Sonic. Oh, that's good.
I like that. Yeah.
I will say I liked that because Sonic, we could sit there and read it for 3 hours and then just get
3 hours
stuck.
Of heaven.
Yeah.
Because there was a rolling aspect, but it didn't tell you like what the stats did. So it'd be like Emily and Caldwell one time built the stupidest Sonic possible where he was just really buff and really cool, but really slow.
A buff cool hog. Yeah.
And there was a point where we had to beat a dude like on a speed roll, and we literally couldn't do it unless we rolled a 6, and we just died like 3 times in a row.
Yeah.
This is why we should have drank the snake.
We'll do that on the short run.
Over on the Patreon, we'll do a replay.
We're gonna get
starting
the key.
At the key.
We'll
that's
go to the
great.
Key. And if another we die right fate. Away, maybe we'll fight the gargoyle.
Friends, another world awaits you. A better world.
This is our first time getting a medium ending. Like Mario and stuff, they usually die.
I like
Sonic usually dies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it was also like more confusing because like when we play as like Sonic the Hedgehog, I don't have any relation to Sonic the Hedgehog, but this I was like kind of confused by the fact that we were like a kind of a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did not fucking like this guy. His best friend is like left his wife high and dry.
Left his wife and then is like
stabbing apes.
I think that was the part when the man like turned to dust in our hand, I was like
and also whispered that, like, I'm
whispered
a piece
like,
of shit because my wife says that.
My wife says I look like an ape when I'm in my cups.
Me cups. Cups.
I love
our
it.
Our name is Carrick, right?
Carrick, apparently.
Yeah. That was the 2 pages of them becoming friends that we skipped.
So you think it would have been worse if we had read a Sonic Adventure book and Knuckles was, like, complaining about his wife all the time?
Maybe. Yeah. Okay. Maybe it's because the characters really... in Sonic the Hedgehog are so, like, such wonderful characters.
Yeah.
This was very 1982.
Yeah.
This was like all of the stuff about D&D that was like problematic. And then also on top of that, the take my wife.
There was really nothing subversive about this.
I could really see like the Dungeons & Dragons 2 level quality movie being made of this though. Just like poor lighting, very bad costuming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just two guys in like a cave.
We should play as snails.
I liked looking at a leaf pile and then falling through it.
The leaf pile, that was fun. That was a fun
that
intro
felt satisfying.
For sure.
I liked the cursed ape man. I thought that was classic
D&D. I did like it. You're right, because I did like it. It was good.
Didn't love that.
It was good storytelling, but because it was the illusion of choice, then when it worked out the way it did and I had so little hand in it.
So I think what we need to do.
That was really confusing to me.
All right, guys, why don't we go ahead and wrap this one up? We'll be over on our Patreon, patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing yet. We will be doing a little another playthrough. Just trying to grab that cross key.
We're going to get that beautiful key.
Yeah.
We're going to get that beautiful key.
What if it just ends up being a decorative necklace? I definitely had a decorative
necklace.
What
if the snake is like, ooh, it tickles when you do that. Thank you.
You're going to have to tune in to find out.
Yeah, I will say the gargoyle, the book was very much like, it's. Do you want to fight this even though it's the strongest thing you'll fight here?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, that's a clue. But the water weird
but
seemed like
the,
it was the same thing.
But also, it was like, beware the water that is not water. Okay, I guess I'm going to not go for it. But now I'm like,
okay, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Check it out.
I think bravery is going to be rewarded.
Does anybody have anything they'd like to plug?
Yeah, I'll plug our show, which is tonight
Yes. In London tonight.
Tonight in London, tomorrow in Manchester, May 13th, and Saturday in Edinburgh, May 14th.
May 14th.
Yeah, so there's time.
That's great. And I will plug salt beef bagels, of which I will be eating one while I'm in London.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Same here. Same so, here. Yeah. Bagel, same. Bagel, same.
Bring. You don't need to bring me one, but just like I need like a signal at the show that you've had a salt beef bagel that day. So like
bring maybe the empty make
a
bag.
Circle. Oh, you there can you do go. Like a little circle over your head with
I like
your
that.
Arms.
Yeah, make like an O with your arms if you had the salt beef bagel.
That's perfect. So tickets are still available at nadpod.com/live. Go there and go to the salt beef bagel place.
Yeah, get that beef.
Sweet, guys. Let's wrap it up. You can follow us on social media that we may or may not use, at CH Murphy's Me, at Caldy's Caldwell, at EXRO's Emily, and at Jake Hurwitz's Jake. And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are the youth of the nation.
Wait, stop. What? We have to do the 8-Bit Book Club ending.
Oh.
I'm a fool. May the Baba Yaga not take you this night.
May Bahamut bless you.
May Bahamut.
What
okay.
is it?
Yeah, it was, okay.
Do you want to just start the song again?
We're going to leave this. No, let's leave this all in.
Leave it all in.
Okay, all discovering and remembering it. Great. There's 8-Bit Book Buds out there that are listening, and we're mad at us for a second.
Oh.
But I hope you kept listening.
They don't turn it off in disgust.
May Bahamut bless you, and may the Baba Yaga not take you this night.
That's right.
Safe. I remember that. I remember that from my first time on.
They made a book about a video game. Podcast about that book.
It's the end of the show, and you know what that means? We need to shout out our benevolent council of elders. I'm talking about Brad D, Jeffrey S, Hugh C, Later Mixgator, Matt M, Jordan DJ, Cutter W, Jill and Tucker, who want to help Jake move out. Ouch. Dungeon Mama, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Scott D, Danny P, Michael McD, Vincent W, Mr. Cole, Victor T, Balnor's Boy Forever, Dominic P, Andrew B, Justin I, Ragnar Fairwind, TJ M, Elena M, Treylay the Cray, Jared E, Christopher B, Damiel R, Cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, Buff Danny Elfman. Ooh, he's made it to the COE. Welcome, Danny Elfman. We're glad to have you. Richard X Machina, Michael L, Callum L, Jack L, Sam L, Nicholas C, Thaddeus Thunderous Turtle, Samuel B, Mike H, Martin P, Matthew E, Colton B, Way Cooler Than Angry Wheat, Adam G, Tyler F, The Badger, Panama James, Andrew the Bard, Captain Sigil, Diana, Cece Lulu, Michelle O, Hercule Poirot, the Rabbit Folk Detective, Timmy R, Crocaholic, Lucas B, Reiko, it's Kevin, Calder's Cold Come, hashtag Can't Stop Me, New York, Cass Skateboard Cass, Stephen C, Michael M, Mike K, Lady Taco, Joy T, Nara, Wit and Whimsy, Jake L, Nick W, Brave the Badger, Esme M, Mutton the Mad Druid, a has-been trying to undo his friend who has been stuck as a polymorphed sheep for 3 weeks, Foster, the original boneless duck, Veronica P, Aaron, the asshole ranger, Ressa G, Big Beardo the Mad, Eric McD, Giant Monsters on the Horizon, Burly T, Percival Frederick Stein von Musel Klausowski DeRolo III, Christian A, Olivia K, Jake Dragonborn, Joro the Inapropro, Cody B, Liam D, The Sandrayan, Ben A, Feldonis, John III, Dave H, Vivian, Koala Bear, Catherine S, David K, Christian S, Rebecca G, Dustin S, Connor F, Hawkeye Pierce, Bookvar's assistant Izzy F, The Time Walker, Blair the Bug Blair Barblarian, Cat C, Kelsey J, Porkchop, Ariel, the Occasional Mermaid, Selena N, Velaciraptor, Manette the Magnificent, Magikarp, Pat L, Achutha A, Lauren H, Amber W, Joshua D, The Bone Duster, The Charming Fluff, Robert Crisp, Master Brentley, Telekitty Creations, the official NADPOD, and my personal favorite illustrator, Plu! Loops. Carly Ann, Addie K, Amber, Lori P, hashtag end Calder's cold come, hashtag rise again the snowy spunk, Spam Gaming the submarine sailor who saw the eagle, Grant L, Connor Savage, Christopher J. Pebblepot, Logan S, Leviathan, BioQuart 7, Remington CD, Amber Dextrous, Sullivan H, Trub Hop Dropper, Sydney T, Jack H, King of the Mole City under Iron Deep, Aphirix, hashtag no censorship, hashtag pro CCC. Ooh, it's getting spicy in this COE. Garble the Moist, Juicy Kiwi, singing Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds in D minor, Champ Wild, Valen, Sprite Pepsi, Caroline C, Louis is your centaur dad, Armadon, the only, Emily S, Harry C, Chloe L, Noah the Bagel of all things, Estelle, Loya the Oiger, Conflicted DM, Justin L, Tori Lee Skirmisher, Dandy, Ian D, Bunny, hashtag Claudius did nothing wrong, hashtag Frog Pal sucks, woo, Marcus P, Pup Kalish, Learns the Balance Druid, Dakota James P, Frida Malo, Pagos, self-proclaimed Faye Prince, Tracy P, the Crick Elf Librarian, Friar Frizzit, Andy E, Holly Hyena, Anthony A, Kristen Z, Leah C, Paige H, Ryan Urfey fully supports Calder's cold come, hashtag CCC for life, Kristen with a K, Cal, just Cal, Commodore Galaxy, Edison N, Russell H, a monk named Dilgo, Neos, the novice monster hunter. My new friend Simon, who I met last night in Dreamland. He was a little sad at first. He seemed to think we'd met before. Morgan Monroe. A peeling sticker. Ah, the tail unfolds. Stephen E. Mr. Adams. Meg, the mail carrier of Bohemia. James F. Jimmy A. Hi, man. Hi, man. Yeah, that's me. Cap'n Cappy, M4L, the Dragon Ambassador, Wayfarer, inventor of the SS Stormbjorn, Andrew B, Dalton B, Cope Fresh, Barpo, Good Barrel, Barbarian, and Brewer Emeritus of Waterdeep, Tari rhymes with Jabari, Welshlender, Garrett G, One Big Curd, Eric M, Mr. D, John P, Mr. Sillyhead, Monster, Captain Renee S. Cameron C. Hope's Dagger, the only dagger of hope. Olivia, the enchanting bard, who will totally be making money off of the Duck Team Tales with an on-the-go, all-the-stop show. Blue Slade. Michaela R. Albin's Alabaster Aftermath, hashtag worth a 200. Solemn's Sticky Sauce, hashtag CCC, double down. Calliope's Cumulo. Come blast! Hashtag CCC forever! Riley S. Sir Sig 93. FICO. Melvin, the Moon Tin. Love that. No one is cooler than Angry Wheat, especially not the front half of a horse costume. Arushi, an anachronistic enigma. The game itself. And what a one to end on. Emily. Ha ha ha! That's it. That is our benevolent council of elders. Thank you all so much. We love you. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Goodbye, sweeties.